Okay, today we're going to start a new sugya. Pesachim Daf Kuf Yadali. Now we have to get into the Seder. Now we're going to go through Seder. The Mishnayos go through the actual Seder on the night of Pesach. So we're going to start with the top Mishnah in Pesachim Kuf Yadali Imral. And this is a Mishnah that's not only about Pesach, but it's really about it's about Kiddush throughout the year. It's about Kiddush in every Shabbos. Says the Mishnah, Mazgalo Kos Rishon. So they pour the first kos. So what do we do first? You say the bracha of Bar Pri HaGafen first, or the bracha of Kiddush Hayom first? So Machlokes Beisham Beisil. Beisham says we make the bracha of Kiddush Hayom first. Beisil says the bracha of Bar Pri HaGafen first. What do we do? Actually, what? Bar Pri HaGafen first, right? Kiddush Hayom comes afterwards. What do we do before Bar Pri HaGafen? A lot of times people get confused because we're used to the visual in the bencher of paragraph, Bar Pri HaGafen, paragraph. But that first paragraph is not a bracha. That first paragraph is a series of psukim. Tosfos earlier in the parak discussed why we say that series of psukim. We already said it in shul twice. Why do we need to say it again? Maybe there's dafka kunz in saying it three times. Whatever, for whatever reason, we say that paragraph of psukim before the Kiddush, but the real Kiddush is the bracha followed by the bracha of Bar Pri HaGafen followed by the bracha on the Yom, like the Shita of Beis Hillel, and that's obviously no surprise that we're going to paskin like the Shita of Beis Hillel. We always paskin like the Shita of Beis Hillel. So that's why we do the few words before Vayar Vayvoker Yom HaShishi to make the Yud Kei Vav Kei, but the actual psukim themselves are there for a different reason. That's the Tosfos earlier on in the parak that discussed the role of the actual psukim themselves. But no, so here's the machlokas. What do we say first? You say the bracha of Bar Pri HaGafen first, or the bracha of Kiddush Hayom first. Now, in general, whenever you're deciding what comes first and what comes second, what's the rule of what comes first and what comes second in Judaism? So the number one rule that we're all very familiar with is Tadi V'Sheinu Tadi Tadi Kodem, and that in fact does play a role over here in the Gemara. As we see, the Braisa elaborates on this machlokas. The Braisa tells us Tan Rabban Dvarim Shevein Beisham Beisil Besuda. Some of the differences between the Shita Beisham and Shita Beisil when it comes to Suda. Beisham Yom Varach Al Yom Varachach Varach Al Yayim Beisham Garin Liayim Shiyavo Ukvar Kidei Shayom Vayadayin Yayin Lo Ba. So not only does the Braisa report the Shita of Beis Shammai, but unlike the Mishnah, the Braisa explains the Shita of Beis Shammai, what the Svara is for the Shita of Beis Shammai. What's the Svara for the Shita of Beis Shammai? You have to make the bracha on the Yom first, because the only reason you have Yayin is since it's a holy day. So if the holy day is what causes you to, is what motivates us to get Yayin for Kiddush, so obviously the Yom would come first, because the Yom is the cause. Yayin is a result of that cause. But the Yom is the cause. We would never even think of having Yayin if not for the fact for the Kedushas HaYom. U'Beisil Omrim, and says Beis Shammai, not only that, second Svara, Kvar Kiddush HaYom Adayin Yayin Loba. Which came first? Did the Yom come first or did the Yayin come first? When do you take out the Kiddush wine? When you come home from shul. By the time you come from shul, the day already started. You already have a Kiddush HaYom. So Beis Shammai gives two svaras that you should say the Kiddush HaYom before the Bar Pri HaGafen. Number one, in terms of what caused what to happen, that the Yom causes the Yayin. And number two, in terms of the chronology of it, that the Yom came first, then the Yayin. So we'll do the Yom first, then the Yayin. Okay, very nice svaras. U'Beis Hillel Omrin, says the Braisa, what's the svara for Beis Hillel? Mivarech al yayin v'achach mivarech al yom. Why? Mipnei shayayin gorim l'kiddush ha-teyamah. So first of all, he says, we wouldn't say Kiddush until we have wine. We always wait for wine for Kiddush. So since you're not going to say the bracha on the yom without the Kiddush, without the wine rather, say the bracha on the wine first, because the wine is what causes Kiddush to be said. Very interesting. What Beis Hillel is saying is, I agree with your Svara Beis Shammai, that we look at what the Goreim is, and we make a bracha on the Goreim first. But I define Goreim differently. You, Beis Shammai, defined Goreim as what causes me to want to say Kiddush Alayayin, it's the Kedusha Sayom. And the Kedusha, therefore I should make the bracha on Kiddush Hayom first, because the Kedusha Sayom is the Goreim. Beis Hillel says, yes, the Kedusha Sayom is the Goreim, but we're not asking what to do first, the Kedusha Sayom or the Bar Pri HaGafen. We're asking, should I make the bracha on Kedusha Sayom or should I make the Bar B'riah Gavin first? We're not asking, should I observe Kedushas Hayom, or should I make the Bar B'riah Gavin? Enochinami, the Kedushas Hayom is the Gorim for the Yayin. That may be true, but we're not talking about Kedushas Hayom. We're talking about the Bracha on Kiddush Hayom. And what causes me to say that Bracha on Kiddush Hayom? What causes me to say the bracha is the yayin. Without the yayin, I wouldn't say that bracha yet. I would wait till I have yayin. Now, if you didn't have yayin, on a daraisa level, certainly say bracha on the Kedushas Hayom without the yayin, right? We can make a kiddush ala pas or a kiddush even just bidvarim on a daraisa level. But once we know that we're supposed to use yayin, so the yayin is goreim, that bracha of Kiddush Hayom to be said. Davar Acher, and a second explanation Beisil says of why we'd say the Bar B'riah Gavin before the Kiddush Hayom, Birchas Hayayin Tedira, Ubirchas Hayom Eina Tedira. Birchas Hayayin is much more common than Birchas Hayom, Tadir V'Sheino Tadir Tadir Kodem. So the rule is, when you have two things to do, you always go with the more common thing first. Yeah. Yes. This entire sugya appears in Brachos.
Is there an afkamina by whether or not Yayin is during Kiddush or Kiddush going during Yayin? But according to Beis Hillel, it says that Yayin is during Kiddush, right? Mm-hmm. So that means if you didn't have Yayin, that means you don't have Kiddush.
So that's why I was careful to translate it not like that. Not that if you didn't have Yayin, you wouldn't have Kiddush, but that when you do have Yayin, you don't say Kiddush until the Yayin comes out. Because if you didn't have Yayin, you still would have Kiddush. As we pointed out, you'd say Kiddush al Lachem, say Kiddush Bidvarim. But that when you do have Yayin, or you will have Yayin, you wait for the Yayin before you say Kiddush. You don't do the Kiddush before the Yayin comes out. The what? So that's one of the many factors in that debate. And or let's say Hanukkah candles and Avdallah. Also one of the factors. Tadir v'sheino tadir. We're always looking at what comes more commonly. That's generally the rule. Now, we're going to spend a lot of time discussing what that rule means, what its limitations are, how broadly we apply that rule. Like, take for example over here. Why is it that the bracha Bar B'riah Gavin is considered to be more common than the bracha of Kiddush? Why is it more common? Because you drink wine all the time? Do you have to drink wine all the time? So is the fact that you could do something, does that make it more tadir than... Or is it that you have to do something? Is wine more tadir because we happen to drink wine more often than we make Kiddush? Or is wine more tadir because we have to drink wine more often than we make Kiddush? Right, every single time you're making Kiddush, you're using Bar B'riah Gavin. Right, so those could be's. Is that what makes it more tadir? It's that every time you say Kiddush, you have wine. So that's even. You have to have wine with Kiddush, so that's even. And then you could drink wine more, so that's what makes it greater. Is it does an optional drinking tip the scale? Is that what we call tadir? Or does tadir mean that it's something that you're obligated to do more often? And you could argue with wine that you are obligated to do it more often. Why? When else are you obligated to have wine? What? Birchas Hamazon, at a wedding, at a... What? Purim... What? Bris Milah, anytime you have a kosher bracha. So it's not only by Kiddush. Furthermore, how do you define Kiddush Hayom? Kiddush Hayom, the Tadirus of Kiddush Hayom, if I'm making Kiddush on Pesach, so how often do I make a Pesach Kiddush? Do I look at it as how often do I make Kiddush, period, or how often do I make a Pesach Kiddush? If it's how often do I make Kiddush, period, so then Kiddush would be more tadir, pretty tadir, not more tadir than wine, but pretty common. Or if it's how often I make a Pesach Kiddush, then it's not necessarily so common. So this is also a question we're going to have to debate. How do we define Tadir? On both of these levels, is something that's common but not obligatory count toward the Tadir? That's one. And how broadly do we define the Tadirus of a Kiddush, let's say, when Kiddush knows many forms? Do we look at each form independently or not? It's also worthwhile contemplating why is Tadir something that should be Kodem? Why should Tadir come first? That which is more common come first. I would argue that which comes less commonly is something that's much more exciting, more important. Are you more excited to read the Megillah? Or are you more excited for Kriyas HaTorah every Shabbos? Kriyas HaMegillah is much more exciting. So why does Judaism view it backwards and make the tadir? Like, what do we do first? We lay from the on Purim morning. Lay from the Torah or lay from the Megillah? We lay from the Torah first. Why? Tadir. We're always laying from the Torah. When you come to shul on Purim morning, you're like, oh, Vayava Amalek, awesome, we're reading the 9%. No, you're excited about the Megillah. So what is it about tadir?
There are two reasons why we put the tzitzit on before the tefillin. One is because in my Bekushim Emor Eden, that tefillin is more holy than first to tzitzit, and also to other shape of go there.
Right.
So, but tzitzit also is theoretically an obligatory, not obligatory, it's an optional. It's optional mitzvah, tzitzit. So we apply the same logic by tzitzit also.
Why is tzitzit tadir? Good, so maybe that's a raya. See, tzitzis is tricky though, because tzitzis becomes an obligation when you have dal kampas. Well, I guess, yeah, so it's a little tricky. It's not entirely optional, but yeah.
Maybe it's a matter of respect. Because, like, when you make Kiddush Shabbos, like, you're supposed to come with challah. It's like, same thing, but like, it's like, yeah, we're, this whole day is dedicated to Megillah, but we're not forgetting the Torah. We're like,
Okay, so the mashal, I think along similar lines, the mashal I always liked in terms of explaining tadir v'sheinu tadir, when you go home today and you see your parents, is that an exciting event? Not really, you see them every day. You have an aunt and uncle that you love that live in California that come and visit, you know, once a year. Right? So when they're coming into New York, is that an exciting day? It's a very exciting day. Which relationship is more important in your life? Your parents are a much more important relationship. Now, one is a more exciting one, comes less frequently, and it makes it very, very exciting. But ultimately, there's the recognition that the more important relationship is the more consistent one, is the one that's there all the time. So I always thought that was a good mashal for Tadir v'sheinu Tadir. Kriyas HaTorah is not as exciting as Kriyas HaMegillah, but ultimately, what's there all the time is going to be the more important of the two relationships. Now, to complicate matters, Chazal do not only have a rule of Tadir v'sheinu Tadir Tadir Kodem, they have another rule in Masechet Zvachim that is less well known than the Tadir v'sheinu Tadir rule, and that's a rule called Mekudosh v'sheinu Mekudosh Mekudosh Kodem. That if you have two things to do, one is holier than the other, you do the holier thing first. So much so, this rule is so strong that you do the holier thing. Like, let's say you take your talis and tefillin example. If we were following Mekudosh v'sheinu, why do you need two reasons to put talis on first? Shouldn't tadir v'sheinu tadir end the story? That's it. So you put talis on first. But which is more Mekudosh? So the tefillin is more Mekudosh. So Mekudosh v'sheinu, Mekudosh, Mekudosh kodem. Now, on the other hand, like you pointed out, we also have a concept of malam Mekudosh v'ein maridin. To complicate matters further, another thing we're going to have to think about, what does the word kodem mean? Before. Tadir v'sheinu tadir tadir kodem means tadir comes first. Meaning, both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are making a very reasonable assumption in our Mishnah that you are planning on saying both brachos. You're going to say Bar Bri Agafen and you're going to say the bracha on Kiddush Hayom. Your question is not which bracha to say, your question is which bracha to say first. But you're going to say both brachos. So in that context, we would definitely say tadir v'sheinu tadir tadir kodem. That if you have two things to do and you're going to do both of them, do the more common one first. But what if it's not a question of which one to do first, it's a question of which one to do at all. There's only enough time to do one mitzvah. But there are two mitzvahs staring you in the face right now. Which one should you choose? Would we say tadir v'sheinu tadir tadir kodem on that as well? You're only going to be able to do one of them? Or is it only a din in kedima, not a din in choosing one or the other? It's not a din in triage when you have to sacrifice them. So that's also a worthwhile question. How medakdek or chazal in using the word kodem over here?
In that case, the principle brought in Mar Zvachim would apply much better than the Malam Bekudosh V'ein Maridin, but if you're not going up anywhere or down anywhere, you only do one thing.
So Malam Bekudosh V'ein Maridin would obviously be disqualified if you're choosing one or the other, because there's not going to be a Malam Bekudosh. Right. So it would make more sense to do the Mekudosh rather than the less Mekudosh. What if you have a tadir that's drabanan and an eno tadir that's daraisa? Like, for example, what seems like we have over here. Why do I say it seems like what we have over here? Kiddush, the Kiddush itself is daraisa. Kiddush Hayom is daraisa. Bar Pri Agafen, drabanan. Birchsananen are drabanan, except for birchsamazon. So you have a daraisa and a drabanan, and yet still, Beis Hillel applies. So apparently we'll say a tadir drabanan beats out an eno tadir daraisa. What if it's an issue of choosing one or the other? Would you say no, then you got to choose the daraisa over the drabanan? Or do we still assume that tadirus plays a role? These are all open-ended questions. I mean, we're going to hopefully discover some of the answers, but just things to think about as we go through the sugya. Yeah,
I was going to say, in a way they're both midrabanan, at that point
It could be that the Kiddush that you're saying at home is already midrabanan because you already did Kiddush b'tefillah. So that's possible. It's possible that it's only midrabanan by the time you get to it. That's true also. Good. So that's what Beis Hillel says. Now, if Beis Hillel says that Zami Beis Shammai disagrees with the rule, or does he just disagree with the application? Does Beis Shammai not hold of Tadim Shein and Tadim Kodem? Or does Beis Shammai hold of Tadim Shein and Tadim Kodem, but he just holds that it doesn't apply in this case for some reason? Because he has his explanations of why we should dafka have Kiddush Hayom first. Okay, also worth contemplating, although that, you know, to learn Shittas Beis Shammai is not Bittul Torah, but it's certainly not going to be our primary focus to try to figure out what Beis Shammai held, because obviously we're not going to pass on Beis Shammai. Okay, says Gemara, V'hilchso k'divrei Beis Hillel, we pass on Beis Hillel, obviously, that we say the Baruch Pi'agafen first. My dover acher, but Gemara says, why does Beis Hillel have to give a second reason? He already gave one reason. He already said that that we would wait to say the Kiddush Hayom until we have Yayin. So the Yayin sort of causes the Kiddush. Once we have that reason, why do you need Tadir Vashenu Tadir Tadir Kodeh? V'chi tema hasam tarti v'hachachada. So says the Gemara, you know why he has to say a second reason? Because Beis Shammai gave two reasons. And he doesn't want you to think, oh, Beis Shammai must be more compelling because he's got two reasons and I only have one reason. No, Hachanami Tati Ninu. Don't worry, I got two reasons. It's a little bit odd, no? Which reason is the more compelling reason? See, his reason of, again, what are Beis Hillel's two reasons? Number one, that the wine is what causes the Kiddush to be said, and number two, Tati Vishen Tati Kodem. Which one is a better one? In your estimation, there's no wrong answer here, I'm just asking your opinion. In your estimation, which reason is a stronger reason?
One or the other, because both shittas hold that concept.
So you argue that both shittas hold that concept, therefore it's a stronger reason. I could argue the other way, that adraba, because you can apply that concept in both directions, so it's a less compelling proof to your side. The same concept of one goring the other is exactly the concept Beis Shammai used to prove his point. So since you could use that same concept to argue this way and to argue that way, maybe that by definition makes it the less compelling reason. I hear your side also. Right, but you can take that both ways. So it sounds like Tadir v'Sheinu Tadir was not even Beis Hillel's Iker reason. That it was like an afterthought. It was, lest you think that this is all I got. Don't worry, I got another reason also. I have something else also. Now, when's the earliest time to say Kiddush? How early can you say Kiddush during the day? On Shabbat, on Friday night? Yeah. Is the Kiddush Siyam there yet when you're saying Kiddush? No. What was Beis Shammai Svara? So Beis Shammai said, not only is it that the Yayin, that the Yom is Gorim, the Yayin to come, but that the Yom comes first, the Yom is there before the Yayin. Not necessarily. This Shabbos already, we could be making early Shabbos, and Shabbos starts so late, a lot of people will be making early Shabbos. And when they make early Shabbos, it could be they'll be saying Kiddush from very early on. Mibod Yom. So you can't say that the Yom comes before the Yayin. So how do you answer for Beis Shammai? Okay, so the simple answer is, was the Kiddush Siyom there first? The Kiddush Siyom is there when you say Kiddush al Yayin, so the Yayin is there first. No, when you make an early Shabbos. So one answer might just be, yeah, most of the time you're saying Kiddush after dark. So most of the time it works out that way. That's what the Rashba writes. That's most of the time. Yeah, by Pesach you have to say Kiddush HaNai because of the Dal HaKosos, Ein HaChinami. Meaning maybe for our argument, I mean for the Gemara and Brachos, Ein HaChinami, maybe this reason of Beis Shammai wouldn't work as well. But for our context, where we're talking about the first Kos of the Seder, you have to say Kiddush Dafka at night. Okay. It's a discussion whether you have to say Kiddush Dafka at night or you have to drink one of the Kosos at night. And the Sekelem and Shulchan Aruch discuss. What is it that we insist happens at night? Is it that the mitzvos halayla have to be done at night? I think we discussed this earlier in the year. That the mitzvos halayla have to be done at night, and therefore dalet kosos all need to be at night. But you could say the kiddush during the day, as long as you elongate the kiddush long enough that by the time you get to drinking the cup, it's already nighttime. Or is it not a din in the mitzvos halayla, it's a din in kiddush makom suda, that you have to say kiddush at a time that you're allowed to already eat matzah, you're not allowed to eat matzah until later on. In which case, you have to actually say the words of kiddush at night. But yeah, in a chinami, that wouldn't apply for Pesach night. The other possibility is that when you're Makabel Shabbos early, in a certain, I guess is what Danny was trying to say, to a certain extent you already have Kiddush Siyo. What you would then have to discuss is what exactly is the nature of Tosfos Shabbos and Tosfos Yantif. When you add extra time onto Shabbos and Yantif, what actually happens? Is it actually the Kiddush Sayom of Shabbos and Yantif? Can you do the Mitzvah Sayom during that time period? So that's the Su'udo Sayom, let's say, of Shabbos. Can you do it during that time period? Okay, so that's certainly something debatable. But Basil is teaching us something else over here. When he says Tadi V'Sheinu Tadi Tadi Koden, he's telling us that the Bracha on the Yayin comes before the Kiddush Hayom because it's Tadir, even though which Chiyuv started first. The Kiddush Hayom started first. When do you have to make a bracha on the Yayin? When you have Yayin in front of you. When do you have to make a bracha on the Yom? As soon as you have Kiddush Hayom. Kiddush Hayom came first. So he acknowledges that chronologically Kiddush Hayom came first, but he still says to make the bracha on the Yayin before you make the bracha on the Yom. So it sounds like according to Basil, Tadir would be Kodem even if the other Chiyuv started first. Let's say you have a Zman Chiyuv. Let's say, what's a good example of this? You haven't yet davened Musaf, and it's already Mincha time. So what would you daven first? Musaf or Mincha? So now on the one hand, what's more Tadir, Musaf or Mincha? Mincha is obviously more Tadir. You do it every day, Musaf only on special days. Which Chiyuv started first? Like clearly Musaf started first. So the Gemara discusses this explicitly in Maseches Brachos. And what does the Gemara say? Gemara says he's daven mincha first because it's Tadir. So you see exactly like the Shita of Vesila, that Tadir goes first even when the other Chiyuv came first. In the Masifta of Yeri, he quotes Mishra Brura and Simon Zayin, Sivkat and Beis, quotes from Marshal, that if a person eats something that's chayv in Bracha Achrona, and then before he said the Bracha Achrona, he went to the bathroom, and now he remembers that he's got to say Bracha Achrona, but he also now has to say Asher Yatza. So he says the Bracha of Asher Yatza comes first because it's more Tadir. Aye, but the Chiyuv Bracha Achrona came first. Yeah, the Chiyuv of the Bracha Achrona came first, says Marshal, but you see from Beis Hillel that it doesn't matter which Chiyuv came first. What matters is which one is more Tadir. Right now, both Chiyuv are in front of you, so you have to look at which one is more Tadir right now.
He's a Mitzvah. Doesn't the Gemara also say that Zelover, because according to one Shita in the Gemara, Musaf is Ad Sheva.
Only until 7 hours. Sheva very Sheva. Good, very good. So, yeah, that's also part of the discussion. Which one is going to pass you by sooner? Which one, if you don't do it right now, well, let's assume they're both Kalayom. Assuming they're both Kalayom, then you would do the Mincha first because of Tadir. Right, but in Chinami, if one is going to pass you by, you're not going to have the opportunity to do it later. That might be another factor in determining what to do first. Now, the end of this Gemara is also very fascinating, and it's really a whole different sugya, but I might as well just read it down to the Mishnah. The Gemara says, so we say that the halacha is like Beis Hillel. Pshita. Of course the halacha is like Beis Hillel. The Nafik Baskol. The Baskol already came out and told us that the halacha is like Beis Hillel. What Baskol? What's he talking about? It's a different Gemara. Where's the Gemara? It's a Gemara in Erevin. Gemara in Erevin says that the Baskol came out right? Rashi tells us, you know, Rashbam says, you don't have to be such a bucky. The nafka baskol b'meseches erivin b'perakama. Daf yud gimel on beis b'meseches erivin. And the baskol came out and told us that we always pass on pesilah. So why would you need to pass over here like pesilah? Of course, you pass on pesilah. Baskol came out. We always pass on pesilah. Okay, good kasha. So the Gemara gives two answers. Number one, it says Yibai say makodem baskol. Maybe this is talking before the baskol. You're right. You don't have to tell me to pass on pesilah. But before the baskol, you would have had to tell me to pass on pesilah. And this statement that we pass on pesilah was said before the baskol. Or Yibai say ma. La'achar baskol, Rabbi Yeshua he damarin mashkichim baskol, or maybe it was even after the baskol, but we're assuming like the sheet of Rabbi Yeshua that we don't listen to a baskol, that we don't care what a baskol says. So you need to tell me to pass on pesilah because otherwise the baskol would be meaningless to me. Where do we have the sheet of Rabbi Yeshua that ain't mashkichim the baskol? So again, you don't need to be a big bucky, Rashbam, but mitzia perikah zahav gabei tanur shechadchel chulios, the famous sugi of tanur shelachnai. The famous story the Gemara has, where Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shua get into a machlokas, and Rabbi Elazar says, "If I'm right, let the tree show that I'm right." And the tree pulls itself out of the ground and jumps 100 amos. Then Rabbi Shua says, "A tree doesn't know how to learn. What are you convincing me from a tree? What does a tree know?" So then he says, "Okay, let the water show that I'm right." And the water starts flowing backwards. The water doesn't know how to learn. Leave me alone with the water. So he says, "Let the kosei beis hamedrash." So they start caving in. And Rabbi Shua says, Rabbi Shua now gets angry. What are you involving yourself in the machlokas in Talmidei Chachamim? You shouldn't be involved. So the Kosei Beis Medrash don't know what to do. So they don't get all the way back up because of the cover of Rabbi Elazar. They don't go all the way down because of the cover of Rabbi Shua. So they stay sort of at an angle. So then Rabbi Elazar says, Min HaShamayim Yochiach! Let the Ribono Shel Olam show. And a baskol comes up. And the baskol says, the halachas like Rabbi Elazar b'chol makom. We shouldn't argue with Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar is always right. So Rabbi Shua says, not impressed. Lo ba shemayim. The Torah is not in shemayim. Baskel doesn't have the right to determine the halacha. Talmid Chachamim have the right to determine the halacha. Rabbi Elazar, all due respect, you're outvoted. Acharav Nahatos, we follow the majority opinion. You're in the minority. Forget about it. You're done. And then at the end of the story, they put Rabbi Elazar in Chayrim. That's also a fascinating story. They put him in Chayrim. They say, okay, who's going to tell him that he's in Chayrim? You've got to find a volunteer. So Rabbi Akiva volunteers. Rabbi Kiva's lova shchorim, otaf b'shchorim, he's nesatif b'shchorim, he wears black clothing, and he goes almost to Rabbi Eliezer, stays 4 amos away. Rabbi Eliezer says, Akiva, what's going on? So he says, I think they may have put you in chayrim. So Rabbi Eliezer takes off his shoes, he's korea begadav, he's yoshev al gabi karka. Why those things? After those things, what are all of those things a sign of? Avelos. Person put a chayim, he's no gavelus. It's a curse that a person should die, and he's no gavelus for himself. So he tears his clothing, he sits on the ground, takes off his shoes, gets very sad, starts to cry, and everything starts going haywire in the world because Rabbi Eliezer is sad. The wheat is bad, and the olives are bad, and everything starts turning bad. Women are making challah, and everything goes spoiled, and everything's bad. And it's all because Rabbi Eliezer. And Rabbi Gamliel's on a boat somewhere, and there's a giant wave that's about to sink the boat. And he realizes that this is happening because Rabbi Eliezer is upset. So Rabbi Gamliel says, "Wait a second, Ribono Shel Olam, you know, lo l'kvod yasisi, lo l'kvod beis Abba asisi. I didn't do this for my own honor. I didn't do it for the honor of my father's house. L'kvod cha, I did this for your honor. Ribono Shel Olam, shalayir b'machlokas b'Yisrael. That there shouldn't be so many machlokas in Klal Yisrael. We come to a psak. Rabbi Elazar shemutei. Rabbi Elazar's outvoted. Period. That's why I did this. It was all l'shem shemaim. So the wave doesn't sink him. A little bit of echoes of Yonah in the story. So." Then at the end of the story, the Gemara says that Rabbi Elazar's wife, Ema Shalom, which is probably not her real name, probably a name given for this Gemara, she was the wife of Rabbi Elazar, and she was the sister of Rabbi Gamliel, who put Rabbi Elazar in Chayrim. So she was sort of stuck in between. So she used to make sure that Rabbi Elazar would never be Nofel Alapav. He would never say Tachnun. Because if he would let it pour out his heart in Tachnun, that would be the end of Rabbi Gamliel. She wanted her brother to live. So one day off that she didn't have to sit there watching him daven was Rosh Chodesh, because he wouldn't say Tachnun. But one month she got confused whether it was a Malay or a Chaser, the Gemara says. So she got the wrong day of Rosh Chodesh. So he was Nafal Alapav and she wasn't there to stop him. Or some say the version was, the Gemara says, that she was called out to an Ani had come to the door and asked for food. and she was busy giving the Ani food, so she missed out on his time for Tachanun, so she couldn't stop him. By the time she came back, she saw he was Nafal Alapav. She said, "Oh no, my brother's dead." And next thing you know, Nafik Shipura, they started blowing the trumpets, heralding the funeral of Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel was dead. So he said, "Wow, that was a cool trick. How did you know that your brother was dead?" So she said, "Because we have a Mesorah in our family that all the different Sha'arim and Shamayim could be closed, but Sharei Ona'ah Ein Nenalu. The gates of Ona'ah are never locked. If someone is pained by something that a person did, and he expresses that pain in a sincere way to the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't close those doors. And I know when you're Nofel Alapav, you expressed your pain. So Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't close those doors." Unbelievable maisa, you could darshan it forever and ever. What's the role of Bas Kol in that maisa? That we don't listen to it. The role of the Bas Kol, as Rabbi Yeshua says, not impressed. Lo b'shamayim hi. So that's what the Gemara is referring to over here. So, but our Gemara is saying it's machlokas tanayim, as the Gemara over there says. Machlokas Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Lazar obviously thought we do listen to a Bas Kol, just like he thought we listen to water and trees and, you know, he thought we any simin min hashamayim. So he thought we listened to a Bas Kol. So machlokas tanayim, good. How do we paskin? Do we listen to the Bas Kol? Do we not listen to the Bas Kol? We paskin like Rabbi Lazar or like Rabbi Yeshua? So we don't listen to a Bas Kol. We paskin like Rabbi Yeshua. There's only one problem. Tosus points out over here. There's several problems. One that Tosus points out over here, that in that Gemara, the moral of the story is, don't listen to the Bas Kol. Bas Kol is going to tell you what to do. La halacha, it's irrelevant. Bas Kol will tell you that halacha is like Rabbi Lazar b'chol makom. No, it's not. We pass like Rabbi Yeshua. Lo b'shamayimi. And in Erev in Yud Gimel, the Bas Kol tells us halacha k'beis Hillel. And granted, so it's a machlokas tanayim whether we should listen to that Bas Kol or not. But what are we paskin? Do we pass on Beis Hillel Beis Shammai throughout Shas? We always pass on Beis Hillel. So we listen to that Bas Kol apparently.
Not because the Bas Kol said it.
Oh, so why? Why would we? So it could be that the Bas Kol happened to have said it, but that's not why we listen to it. One very viable approach. Tosfos of Yer says, the rule is Achrei Rabban Lahatos. You follow the majority opinion. Rabbi Eliezer was going up against the majority. He was a minority opinion. He was going up against the majority. So how do we paskin? Like the majority. We don't listen to his Bas Kol. Because the Bas Kol can't tell us to go against the halacha. The halacha is to follow the majority. But Beis Hillel versus Beis Shammai, who's the majority? Beis Hillel was a bigger yeshiva that majority against the Beis Shammai. What's the hava mina then to pasnei Beis Shammai? Why would anyone even think for a moment to pasnei Beis Shammai? Because Beis Shammai mechad ditfe. They were sharper, they were smarter. So you would think that maybe that balances out the rabbin. Comes the Bas Kol and says, no, don't let that balance it out. We listen to the majority, we don't listen to the mechad ditfe, to those who are sharper. And that's why we listen to that Bas Kol. So you could understand Tosfos in two ways. One way to understand Tosfos is that we're not like Alex was saying. We don't. The Bas Kol means absolutely nothing. We pass the Beis Hillel because they're the majority. Period. That's it. The Bas Kol happened to reinforce that, but it was just reinforcing. It was just reinforcing what we already did anyway. The other way to understand it is that we were struggling. We didn't know how to paskin. We have Rabbim versus Mechad Ditfei, and it could have gone either way. And when all else is even, then the Bas Kol could tip the scales, the Bas Kol could balance. So that's a major question. Do we entirely ignore a Bas Kol in halachic discussion? Or do we view it as a voice, but not the only voice in halachic discussion? Rav Avadia has a tshuva about Shalos Tshuvos Min HaShemayim. And the Bible tells us about a sefer called Shalos Tshuvos Min HaShemayim, where he'd go to sleep at night and he would have a dream and he would ask Shailas up in Shemayim. And then he'd wake up and he'd write down the answers. Huh? Not Rav Avadia, one of the Balei Tosfos. So Rav Avadia discusses, Rav Avadia also had an interesting dream that he writes about, but that's for a different time. Rav Avadia discusses, so what do we do? What do we do with that sefer? Does that mean everything it says has to be right because it came straight from heaven? Does it mean we should totally ignore it because it came straight from heaven and Lo B'Shamayim? or is it another voice in the halachic discussion? Meaning you have 50-50, so it could be machriya. Yeah, another vote. And we judge it like we would anything else. Does it make sense? Does it not make sense? Maybe totally in two ways to read this Tosos.
Logically, it makes sense. When you allow any of it to input, it's hard to separate it just in that vote. It's because of the Mishnah.
Right. Once you're listening to it, it's hard not to listen to it. Yeah, I hear that. So it may be totally in two ways to read this Tosos. Tosos is saying, we had this struggle. Beis Hillel was the Rabbin. Beis Shammai was Mechad Ditvei. So then the Baskel is supporting the Rabbim, so we listen to it. So what does that mean? That we would have listened to the Rabbim anyway, because so it doesn't really matter what the Baskel said? Or does it mean that, no, we didn't know necessarily to listen to the Rabbim because of the Beis Shammai Hur Mechad Ditfei, so we didn't know to listen to the Rabbim, so the Baskel is Machriya, and therefore the Baskel does matter. Yeah, Dan?
I'm saying, obviously, according to Yeshua, that there is no, the idea isn't like a voting, like, you know, or trying to like constitute like a vote for it. Whoever's coming and say their opinion, it's not like that. If you're not like living in this world as a Talmid Chacham involved in the sugya, then you have no say in what the halacha is.
Ein mashkichin baskel means mash. You see, very interesting. Ein mashkichin doesn't mean we don't obey. It means we don't give any credence to. We don't pay any attention to. So it's right. The lashon. I'm just saying. The lashon seems to. It's like the. There's a Lashon Chazal of the Gemara and Shabbos talks about the attitude of Malachi Asharis toward Lashon Arami. So there are variant versions in Chazal, whether it's the Malachi Asharis are Ein Mevinim Lashon Arami or Ein Mashkichin Lashon Arami. So the Rishonim already talk about what is it that the Malachi Asharis have with Lashon Arami? Is it that they just don't understand, they just don't chap? Or is it that they refuse to listen to it because they find it despicable? So they're just not Mashkichin, they just... They push it away. So in mashkich and baskel might mean that we don't want it. It doesn't belong in this conversation. Good. I think Rav Vadya writes in that tshuva. By the way, I think his maskana in that tshuva is that it has a vote in the halachic process, but it's not the only vote. Rav Shiva is here, so now we'll do more tadi v'shem and tadi v'shem Monday. We'll probably do a dhamma on Sunday, I guess.